CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Here we are. We're live. It's all happening from my house, Ben's house, and Sia's house this morning. Yes, Ben Karpinski makes a starring return, a cameo appearance this morning on the Gareth Cliff Show.
Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Ben. Morning, Sia.
If this was Days of Our Lives, which character would Ben be coming back from, like, Island somewhere, coming back to steal your wife.
Well, the only thing I remember about Days of Our Lives is when that woman was possessed by demons. Do you remember that shit? That was the only time. It's the only time I ever watched a soap opera, and I loved it just because this woman was. Her name was Marlena. I even remember because I never watched soap operas, and then when this woman was possessed by demons, it was suddenly the most like fantastic show on TV. You just kept waiting for her to like vomit green shit in someone's direction or like start saying fuck you. She never did though. She was always just like her eyes went black or something. But it was such a great, like, you know, for a soap opera they're usually so boring. It's always about relationships that go wrong or people that fall in love. This time it was fun. There was a devil involved.
Well, it was like a daytime demon, but you think soap operas are created for their target market, very boring people with generally fuck all to do during the day.
Right. That's why they're so popular in this country.
And we weren't saying that you're possessed by a demon, though. Good to see.
Well, I hope not. I hope not. Well, if you, might have been a couple of times.
If you hear a if you hear a moaning noise in the background, it's not someone who Ben managed to conquer last night after a coffee.
Fuck.
It's a cat. Because Ben has turned into an old cat man. That's what he's become. That's his life now.
Gareth, I haven't turned into anything. I've slowly evolved from what you know. It's just Meowsers. Meowsers wants to go outside, so she'll howl like an old bitch. She's become like an old woman. She's like cranky and she's...
Yeah.
She's like literally circling me and knocking shit off like countertops.
That's...
Alpha cat.
That is what happens to a lot of women once you marry them, is they become exactly like that. They moan, they knock things
over. Oh, come on.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Well, he hasn't gained huge amounts of weight, so I'll give her credit for that.
Wow.
She's not fucking a Hopkins. She's literally laying into Hopkins with fists.
Oh, that's great.
Very savage.
You know, I'm not a cat person, but what I do love about meows is that we all had droids into coming into your life. Just this like random cat that would come in and follow you around to you fully like just embracing her.
Remember when she wasn't she wasn't even your cat once. Do you remember that?
No, she just decided well, she's still not my cat. She still believes she's just Meowsers. Like the other day she often walks along the roof and goes to these other people with a fancier apartment. So she just goes there and she eats like fine chicken. I know this because she came back and then fucking vomited onto my floor. I was like, I don't feed you that bitch. You go over there with this fancy stuff and you come back and you... Yeah, she's pretty funny.
Meowsers has no loyalty, clearly.
No, she does. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think. But like, that's the thing about cats. They're kind of humbling. Now, if you get a dog, it gives you a false perception of who you are. You think you're amazing. Mostly you're just full of shit. Your dog's like, oh, I love you.
Just before we carry on, I think this is worth mentioning. I bought this inverter thing yesterday, which is why I'm sitting here in the dark. But I see the power's just come on again. It's amazing. Nice. So it weighs a fucking ton. It's like the heaviest thing I've ever carried on my own.
You got an expensive one then. Nice.
Yeah, this thing's got, I don't know what the numbers are. I can find you the details if you want me to. But so you just plug it into the wall and then it's got this huge battery attached to it. The actual little inverter is a box on top. And it basically will, when the power goes out, the battery powers whatever you've attached to the plug at the top. So, I mean, it sounds so simple. And for many people, this is something they've had for ages. But I kept on holding out hope that the show would never be interrupted. And this morning, and last night, we had to do an interview as well at like 8:30 in the evening. So thank God I got it at exactly the right time. And then this morning, I could test it out straight away. And it works like a charm. It sounds a bit like... it sounds like one of those machines in a hospital that keeps someone alive when they're not meant to be alive. Because you can kind of hear it in the background going, but it's amazing. And, you know, thank God for technology like this that allows us to get past the ANC and their uselessness. I'm always pleased when I can find a piece of technology, a solution someone has developed that countervents the ANC and their stupidity.
That should actually be a selling point for these kind of products.
Definitely.
It's like you know, you used to get those proudly South African products with a little flag on them. Now it should just be like a line through the ANC. That's the
Well, Andre says the inverter is light. It's the battery that's heavy. Yes, I did maybe mislabel the two, but the battery weight. Ben, if you and I see your exercise regimen is kicked into like insane gears. I mean, like everybody's talking about it on Instagram, and if you're not following Ben yet at the bounce, you've got to go and see what this guy's up to. He's like lifting he's lifting buildings with a single breath and bounding over like the Wanderers fields with one or two strides. It's become like a super fucking man. It must feel pretty good, dude. I mean, I don't think you've ever been in this shape in your life.
No, it's Gareth, the difference is that I'm working with really smart people with like everything in life. You do that, you get things right, you know. You can do so much by yourself, but when you get someone who knows what they're doing, it's incredible potential that you can actually unlock. But I'm not really like, I'm not lifting huge things. I'm actually getting my body right for once and for all. So I'm doing a lot of, like my hip, this whole area here, the middle section of my life is just rock solid right now.
Good.
If I ever have sex again, there's going to be warm-ups involved because, I'm very, very strong in my core area, my hip thrusters, all this kind of thing.
Magnificent.
And See, the thing is, like, if you want to be strong, people just go and lift weights, and then they have, like, these little niggles and aches and pains, and it just gets exasperated as they get heavier. Because, you know, like I said on Instagram a while ago, the temptation to put on huge weights and motivational comments as posts is what everyone tries to do nowadays. That's in bad tattoos. But, I'm going back to basics. So I'm using my inability to play golf as an excuse to just basically correct everything. And then once I do that, then I'll put on the heavy weights. But I don't want to be big. Like, I'm so happy right now because I'm so strong for whatever I want to do. Like, I feel like I've got, like, monkey strength, like orangutan strength. But yet, I still look kind of the same. But, it's definitely the best investment ever made in my life. And it's made me a lot happier and more able,
Isn't it also great that you've been able to do this before you turn 40? Because then it shows you what's possible. And I mean, I've seen these people, you know, they're these kind of inspiring websites and things that you visit and people who you follow on social media. And they show you these guys in the fuck is that?
Meowses.
Oh, okay. I thought someone was
golf balls flying at me,
breaking into your house or something. You see these people on social media and they're like in their 60s and they're in better shape than I am and then many people I know in their 20s. It's phenomenal. It just shows you what is possible. And once you've seen what's possible, you don't give up on life and you don't become a wastrel and a loser like so many people I know who have walked a path in life where they've either felt that they've done well enough and they settle for less, or they just completely lack ambition and they've just never gone there. And I'm not just talking about their physical condition, but their mental condition, their emotional condition, everything. You can see people who've just given up. They think that life is over because someone's told them that at some point and they actually believe it.
It's so true. And, you know, I've never been one of those people who are into like motivational speakers. I think a lot of it's just a money-making racket. But life has become so incredibly different now. And I can't help but wanting to share, not like a religious kind of person, but there's been so many easy truths for me to carry on. There's been so many easy gains for me to create. And a lot of people just see right past it because, you know, like Gareth, we've spoken about this on the show many times. Humans are obsessed with magic. That's why they believe so heavily in like religion and politicians and celebrities. But you and I or anybody can just be actually so much better. So I've actually started a podcast this week because I want to channel all of these really good things in my life right now into like a time capsule. Mm-hmm. So I've lined up 8 guests and I had my first episode this week with Jack Lotter. So if you don't know Jack, he's like a no-nonsense kind of very upfront guy, but his mind towards performance and excellence, I mean, if everyone can just bottle that and savor a bit of what's in there, I think it's a very incredible like sort of takeout. So I'm going to create this series, this little podcast thing, and I'll share it with you guys. Because there are amazing people out there, you know, like I listen to Joe Rogan podcast. I think, wow, his guests are so amazing. That's just why this guy knows so much. Or like Tim Ferriss, but we've still got lots of amazing people here. I mean, you've seen it on Cliff Central time and time again. So I'm trying to bottle and sort of distill this section of my life right now, because every time I've got fit or strong in the past, I've then just started binge drinking again, or I've
about something that I feel is a real problem in the world right now, and this is probably going to make us both very uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable, unpopular. This is going to make us very unpopular. You know, there's this trend, and I don't know where it's come from. I think it might have been just a general kind of leftist devolution of humanity. But I see lots of these very, and we've spoken about like beta males, these like soy boy, weak, unmasculine men who are just you know what I mean.
I think you haven't heard that phrase before, Sia.
So can we just talk about this? Because I know, you know, Ben's going to be with us until 5:30, and it's something we've been talking a bit about on like WhatsApp, because there are all these videos going around of these really pathetic men who are definitely not attractive to women. They're definitely not attractive to other men. They're definitely not the kind of people anyone would want as friends. There is no reason that these people have any function in society, and they've become that way through
Gareth, I thought we wouldn't talk about my exes today.
Well, I mean, listen, maybe that's also why you broke up with them.
Exactly. That's my exes.
I mean, there's this video going around of like these four guys in Los Angeles who are like excited as can be because they're going to have Dr. Fauci on their podcast or whatever, or their video stream or whatever they're doing. And it's the most pathetic thing to see, because these guys are behaving like little teenage girls who are about to meet the guy who, you know, the woman who plays Barbie in a TV show or whatever. It's pathetic that these people exist. There is no way they perform a useful function in society. They can't protect anyone. They can't earn money. They can't produce anything of value. They're not the kind of men who anyone in the world would be able to find a valuable job to do. And I'm worried about the fact that this has become almost like the setting that so many parents, particularly single mothers, are raising their children, their male children to be. It's a problem.
Yeah, Gareth, it really is, because now I've got to start this conversation by saying diversity and people being individuals is probably the most incredible thing in the world. We all know this. We've all spoken about this.
Sure.
But there's got to be a level where you've got to have some sort of substance and self-worth. Mm-hmm. And it's become so ingrained, like, you just mustn't be this one kind of person, the sort of alpha male kind of person anymore.
Yeah, those are the bad people. Those are the ones that we immediately villainize.
Everything that's bad comes from those kind of people. Mm. You know, and this is something that I touched on quite heavily with Jack, because, you know, he's unashamedly is that guy. He wants to be an alpha male because he wants to be a strong dad. He wants to be a strong coach, motivates people. He wants to be a good husband. And all of these things, people forget, like, that's actually your role as a man. Like, it's not one of those options. So you can't just tap out and do these other kind of things and be all soft, because that's how people then lie to you and you don't fight back. You know, that's how China's taken over the world, because of like soy boy mentality. Everyone's like, oh, okay, so that's what they're doing now. Cool.
Well, I mean, if you met an army of those kind of men on the battlefield, and don't forget that humanity's only really settled into a more or less peaceful situation in maybe the last 40, 50 years. Before that, every single generation of human men had to go to war for something. You didn't have an option.
It was,
you know, usually you were just drafted and you were sent off and you didn't know why and you didn't care why, because it wasn't your business to ask. And now we've got a bunch of people in this world. And please don't get me wrong. Don't let me sound like, it would be very easy for people to stereotype this and say, oh, Gareth's, you know, he's saying there's only one kind of successful man. That's not true. You can be yourself. You can be authentic. You can be real. And you might be one of those people who's into, you know, poetry, or you're into drama, or you're into doing all kinds of other things that aren't about like being these, you know, alpha male, first team rugby playing, warlike, aggressive dudes. Because, you know, the real strong man is the guy who doesn't use his aggression or his violence. It's the guy who has it when he needs it, but doesn't use it. And that might be in argument, it might be in wit, it might be in intellect, all of those things. It doesn't have to be physical strength only. But I feel like there are a lot of these guys who just have no ability to deal with anything. They're the kind of people who ghost each other on social media. They're the kind of people who have nothing to say when confronted with their own lack of responsibility. They're the kind of people who don't pay for their children. They abandon their families. They're just basically useless. And
no, now that's a big lump of people.
It is.
But I think just to simplify this, it's like as a guy, as just like a woman, as anybody in this world, you've got a certain responsibility to be better. Okay, so this whole thing about masculinity is the devil. No, it's actually one of the greatest things. We spoke about this before. Like, explore masculinity. You don't have to be the first team rugby jock. You don't have to be the guy who can deadlift 300 kilograms. Go for it. Go poetry, gardening, whatever, but explore your masculinity within that, and that you're a strong character. Like, life is very simple. If you want to attract a mate, you've got to be someone who can protect, provide, and just be someone of substance. Like, yeah, it goes for any kind of like form of person.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think, look, it's just an interesting thing to discuss because I see it happening around us. And I'm like, I know a lot of single women who are desperate to find men who are, you know, the things that they want in a partner, strong, responsible, that challenge them, that are confident. Those kinds of things are in short supply at the moment. There are too many people in this world who are like falling over backwards to accommodate everyone else, and they have no strength of character. I think it's a very dangerous thing for society, because who do young men role model themselves on? And especially in a country like South Africa, where we already have problems of fatherlessness, and we have problems of people being raised by their own grandparents because their parents aren't there, or another child in the house. This is a problem, and I think this goes to a much deeper level than the stuff that people talk about generally when they come to South Africa and our problems, you know.
Totally.
All right, I just wanted to bring that up because it's something that you and I have been talking about for a long time. But
Gareth, let me just to end off on that. The fact that it's now an anti thing, like, it's always, you can discuss things and be different, but the fact that it's always seen as targeting as the wrong thing to be nowadays, that's what really worries me. Yeah. Like, that's my biggest gripe with it.
What do you mean by that, Ben?
As in, like, if you are that kind of character, then you are a poison to society, because that's what the media is putting out now. And that's why you see all these soy boys doing all kinds of things, because the media and that whole leftist agenda is trying to, like, vault them into prominence. As in, like, this is it, guys. This is who you should be. This is the kind of person you should be nowadays.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. All right. So tell us quickly, with all the training and everything, is there an eating program that goes with that, or are you just being disciplined about what you eat?
It kind of goes both ways, Gareth. Like, again, you do use a very simple analogy. It's about, if you do have like a good car, you can't just put shit in it. You know, you can't just randomly put this octane in or don't service it. Hmm. So, but the whole thing about eating is you got to do whatever's sustainable. And people always ask me this question all the time. Like, how do you eat to get a six pack and this kind of stuff? Well, it's just one of certain cogs. Like, you can't just eat well and expect good results. Like, just like you just can't train well and expect good results. They've got to go hand in hand. But it's like a very fundamental thing. Again, like, I can't go into what it is, because some people weigh their food. I don't. Some people eat a very specific diet. Mine's all over the place. But it's all within moderation. And the idea being, you've got to eat to fuel yourself, rather than eat to entertain yourself or eat to comfort yourself. Just eat to fuel yourself.
And you know what? This working from home thing has got so many people just thinking that they have to live in the fridge. And that's bad news, obviously. That's really bad. Just to go on to something else, because I'm very aware of the fact that we've only got you for a little bit. Congrats on all the stuff that's happening.
Sorry, guys.
No. Congrats on all the stuff that's happening with your business. It's fucking phenomenal what you and Mike Sharman have done in the last while. I mean, give everybody an update so that they know, because I've been following this, but I think a lot of people would want to know what you've been up to and what you guys do and how you've now got tentacles internationally, and you've got all kinds of programs that you're a part of incubating the business and pushing it forward. It's really exciting stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. I think in the latter stages of me being on the show full time, and I couldn't do that, and where I was going with these companies is that we started an advertising agency simply to talk about sporting things, so matching sports stars to brands. I've always been very passionate that sports people, again, we can't get away from this masculinity topic. I always believe that sports people can be good role models when used correctly. Obviously, Oscar fucked that up for everybody. But sports people are good stories. You know? Like, I don't know if you don't mention Oscar anymore. But sports people are good stories, and we always believe in that. And I think sports people are a very important part of marketing mixes in a healthy sense. That's not just blind influencer marketing. You know, and I feel very passionately about that, because I feel like maybe I didn't exercised that potential in my life. Maybe I could have been a sports person. Maybe not. I don't know. So, yeah, Mike and I started that with Brian Abana, and then that went pretty well. And Mike and I worked together so well. He's like, yeah, we're like kindred spirits. You know, he's probably the only person I know with a fouler mouth and mind than I. And to top that off, he's actually incredibly smart, a lot more motivated and go-getter-ish. And, you know, like I always had this whole thing about never be the smartest person in the room. And if you can do that for longer periods in life, because we all plateau out eventually and everyone becomes quite average. But this dude is just, he's on another level. He inspires me, he motivates me, he makes me laugh every day. It's like, the funny thing is, where I've lost in like relationship in my life and being single since I left the show, I've developed the best business partner. So I guess you can't have everything in life, you know. I've got a great work.
Yeah, you can't have everything.
A good work partner.
If only you, yeah, if only you and he were gay, it would all work so beautifully.
if you and I are gay, sure, I think I'd be in pain. He's a big guy. I've never had that thought for obvious reasons.
Sia is horrified by this conversation.
I don't. So, yeah, just got visuals I didn't want to have.
I like the fact that you figured something out, which I think many of us don't figure out. You only have so much room in your life. Like, you only have so much energy. You have a quota of energy that you can spend a day, and you have a quota of relationship availability that you have. If you're in a very serious, very administrative relationship, you know, some people's relationships are so complicated that they burn an enormous amount of energy just keeping the relationship together. And maybe it's worth it because they really love that person, or they feel like that's the best person that they could ever be with, and their life has just improved in leaps and bounds since they've been with them. And it's worth putting the energy in. But for many people, it isn't like that. It's a drain, and it the offset is just too much for them to handle. I often think that if you found yourself a really great business partner, consider yourself lucky. If you found yourself a really good life partner, consider yourself lucky. But if you only get one of those, that's also plenty to celebrate. And if you have a family that you love and you get along with, what a bonus. If you have friends that you can rely on, that's a major bonus. If you can't have everything. Like, there's no one on earth. You look at Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, who just both got divorced recently, and they're the richest men in the world, right? You can't have everything. Yeah. Every human being wakes up in the morning going, I hope I'm good enough, and I hope I can make it through life having achieved a couple of things along the way, and I can find some sense of happiness and purpose and self. But we don't ever take stock of the good stuff. And you just said now you found a great business partner in Mike, and the two of you have built an incredible business together. And that wouldn't have happened had you been distracted with the show and relationships and all of this shit. You actually sometimes have to be singularly focused to make things happen.
Well, that's something I've always admired about you, Gareth. You're very singularly focused, and look how incredibly successful you've been. Overwhelming.
It's like that great Socrates meme where it goes, it's okay, you know, so be average, it's all right. Yeah, you were saying?
So exactly a year ago yesterday, then we started like a sort of offshoot business, because again, Mike and I had this idea, like, what if we take sports stars and combine like Tinder and Trump cards and try to build a platform where they can actually become more professionally orientated and market themselves better.
Yeah.
And so are you guys getting bad feedback, or is it just me?
No, it's just you.
I am as well.
Okay. Sorry. So this whole thing's been going for a year, and like with all one-year-olds, once you wipe off the excess shit, you realize that it's made you quite old and how it's taken some money away from you. It's actually quite rewarding. You know, you're looking at something you've built. We've got international clients, as in we have calls with South American people. We have someone in Ireland who runs our sales. Mike's pursuing some amazing Australian leads. I had a great conversation with a guy from Asia yesterday, who's running rugby as a startup kind of platform there. And we've also got forays into Europe. And the whole thing is that this company will only grow and benefit people here if we can go international, because right now sport is so fucked here. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can't get any crowds together, and we won't for the rest of the year. I mean, sports are trying here and there, but it's mostly terrible. It's about being in a place where people are going to fall in love with sports again. People are going to really find value in athletes again. And we've built this thing through blood, sweat, tears, all of those kind of things. And it's something to be really proud of. Because,
well, you know, Ben, if you can make a business like that work when sport isn't in South Africa and the world, imagine how much it's going to thrive when it does start working. That's the real.
Yeah, world. I mean, we're definitely not kidding ourselves. Like, like we all start as businesses. You would know starting your own business too. Like, they don't make money for a while. But the thing is that we're not really burning too much anymore. We're very resourceful, but. Like, if there's anything that can ever mature you or anything that can ever test you as a person or test your will or resolve or, you know, attitude towards things, it's a business. You know, and again, it's very hard to start these things, especially in a country like South Africa with minimal opportunities. But, wow, I feel so incredibly fortunate in that what it's done for my mind. And, yeah, like the person I am now compared to a couple of years ago, I feel very different.
It sounds like, you know, this great journey of kind of self-improvement. And I don't mean to sound glib about that, because I think most people never get to that stage. And it's just awesome to see and hear. That's why I'm glad to have you on the show at all. I know how busy you are.
Thank you.
So just quickly, a lot of people want to know about golf. Are you still playing as much golf? There are a couple of comments about that. Are you playing on courses all over the country? Where are you, and what can people find out about that?
So now that I don't have a back that's killing me, well, it was just me killing my back, really. I've actually started a series now on my Instagram account called Strong for Golf, which ties in with the training I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. So this year I've managed to have two golf weekends away, like boys' trips. In the past, I couldn't play consecutive days. I play generally every Saturday. I still love it.
Right.
Just learning so much more about mechanics and power and these kind of things. So, yeah, that's still very much amazing. Like, that's what I do. I work hard Monday to Friday. Saturday morning, generally play golf.
But are you playing better golf generally?
Not yet, Gareth, because there's a lot of things that come into it. Like, because my back was so bad, I changed clubs to all my clubs having one length, so I could work on the same posture over and over. Mm. But then the ball would go far too far with like the smaller irons, so I would always be missing greens, and then I got the yips with chipping. So my game actually went to like proper shit. I shot 100 recently, like 3-4 months ago.
Sure.
Also because like my eyes are bad, I need to get the laser stuff. So I try to play around golf.
Are you going to play around golf
with my reading glasses?
You're going to get the laser surgery for your eyes?
I have to. Guys, I can barely see the screen right now. I just look like a dickhead with glasses on. So I'm staring at what I believe is the camera.
I'm sorry. We don't mean to laugh at your misfortune. All right, Ben. Thanks for coming.
We'll measure this.
So are we gonna make this a regular Friday thing or what?
Yeah, sure, guys. I mean, it's always great to catch up. And I've just spoken about myself like an egotistical bastard this morning. I would love to catch up more with you guys. But yeah, unfortunately, I've only got half an hour because I have to go to four ways. This is how committed I am to my training right now.
Four ways, buds.
Four ways. Yeah, four ways in the dark. Well, I'm being judged by meowsers because I haven't fed her yet.
Don't feel bad. The reason we spent most of this time talking about you is because we needed to do a quick catch up on what's been going on. And your cat's moaning at you again, so you better let her out.
All right, relentless.
We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you in a week. Cool, Ben.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers,
ciao,
man. Bye. There's Ben Karpinski joining us this morning, and he's going to go and see to cats and his training now. I could see like you were glazing.
Such is life.
You were glazing over when we were talking about golf, Sia. You were like, trust me, I'm not a big golf fan either, but Ben takes the thing so seriously. It's always good to hear someone who is passionate about something talking about it, even if it's something embarrassing like cycling. You know, if you talk to someone
embarrassing.
If you talk to someone about something they care about, you see this like this energy in them, which I just love. I would rather hear from someone who really loves something, even if it's something I can't stand or I'm just not interested in, than hear from people who have zero passion. There's nothing worse than those, like just those people who nothing excites them. You know, life is just boring. I just got this from Phil.
Look, we spoke to Jasmine Mulholland about Grey with her great passion for spoons on Monday.
Unbelievable, huh? And you know how many emails I've got from people saying you've got to have Jasmine on more. She's fantastic. So we're going to find an excuse to have her on. Who knew that we always thought Rich Mulholland was the one that we needed to hear more from, but it's actually it's actually his wife. So I just got this from Phil Kutzer, who we'll be talking to later on at DeWitt Motors. He sent me this from Ermelo. Look at the temperature. 0 degrees. 0 degrees, yeah. And it says fair weather today. Oh, please, do me a favor.
Oh gosh. Fair weather. Just using my analytics and resources of my very trusted eyelashes.
Oh yes.
This morning isn't too cold. Every morning this week leaving the house, I go, oh, what are my eyes doing? Because you know, sometimes you go into the cold and you feel like your eyes are slowly freezing over. You know that? Jesus. When it's too crisp outside. No. So today isn't too bad, I think.
All right. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night and I realized that there'd been load shedding and that there was going to be more. And I'm just like, this inverter may just change my life because I can carry on working.
Oh, yeah.
I can carry on doing things. I would suggest, and it cost me about 9,000 or 10,000 rand, which is a lot of money. But you know, if you consider that we have to, this show is our bread and butter, and we have to make sure that it's on. And I know there've been a couple of mornings where we've been delayed because of load shedding or technical problems, and we won't have those anymore. It's like just professionalizing the outfit. But I would say to anybody who's working from home and has had serious disruption, this is probably a good investment. I mean, I know 10 grand is a lot of money, but you plug the thing in. I mean, anyone can set it up on any plug in your house. You can't operate the whole house off of it, but I've got the mixing desk. I've got the Comrex that connects me to the studio in Rivonia where Sia is. I've got the internet working, so my router's connected to it, and my
essentials.
Laptop. Yeah, and a light. So I mean, it's and that's not even. I think that's half the power that it can provide for a good 3 or 4 hours. So I've got to say.
So I can't imagine people, for example, who have a newborn who needs to be taken care of with different bits and bobs.
Yeah.
You know, what they're doing with load shedding, but an inverter would help. And one would swear we have a stake in an inverter business and we're trying to make commission.
I'm really not. And thanks to Greg, yeah. Who really, at Cliff Central, without Greg, we wouldn't know what the hell to do. Greg is a genius, and he actually found the right equipment because I wouldn't have known where to start. You know, if you told me go and buy this thing, and trust me, members of the family have said to me, this is what you need. And I didn't understand what they were talking about. So I said to Greg, you know what specs we need, go and check it out for me. And he just told me what to get. And I went there and collected it yesterday.
So Gareth, bar then water, you somewhat aren't reliant on the government, not even somewhat. No. You largely aren't reliant on the government.
No, I mean, like anybody else, I don't have solar. I don't have the whole battery.
Well, yeah, the electricity is still touch and go. Yeah.
So I mean, I can survive load shedding now. I can still be productive during load shedding, which makes a difference. But I've said this for the longest time, and I'm going to practice what I preach. You need to make yourself completely independent of government. And if it means collecting rainwater or setting up some kind of water filtration thing in your house. So there are ways to do this stuff. And I'm telling you, if you think electricity is a problem, and it is, just wait till the government start fucking up with water, because that's already happening in Joburg. You know, we've talked about it. It's been in the news for what, the last 3 weeks, that there are parts of Joburg that just have not had water. Now, this is not going to get better. It's probably going to get worse because these guys don't know what they're doing. So just make sure that you have a way of dealing with this. And I mean, for particularly people who've got kids and, you know, you've got family to look after and you can't just cope with things on your own. You know, you've got to get kids ready for school and all that kind of thing. If they can't brush their teeth, that's a problem. So it's the basics. And you've got to look to yourself. You cannot rely on anyone else in this world. And that's been true for all time. It's not as if, you know, things are indescribably worse. I mean, most of the time it actually is a whole lot better. I've said this before, but you don't have to fall prey to all the ups and downs of everyone else's bullshit. Let's get into some headlines.
Oh yes.
The president has mentioned in a speech in parliament that it was actually the presidency's budget vote in parliament, that there are a string of indicators that show signs of a rebound in the economy, which was already in trouble before COVID-19. But he said his government's focus on economic reforms is beginning to pay off, with the economy showing signs that things are getting better. Replying to the debate on the presidency's budget vote in the National Assembly, Ramaphosa cited a string of indicators that show signs, which was all that he could find to talk about. He said it's important to make sure that the green shoots led to a sustained acceleration in economic growth. Here are some of the things he mentioned: a stronger rand, higher commodity. And that's not because South Africa is doing well or we're clever. It's because the dollar's starting to slide. And it's because other international currencies aren't doing well. It's not because we're good, Mr. President. Commodity prices that have gone up, that is outside of our control. We can't claim credit for that. Good agricultural export earnings. Again, good agricultural export earnings means farmers in South Africa who do know what they're doing are doing a great job and bringing a lot of money into the country. What do? They talk about expropriation without compensation. What do you think that does to farmers? Think it makes them confident about their future? So don't speak with forked tongue, Mr. President. Household spending is on the increase, but that's because people have to, like going to buy inverters and shit. Manufacturing, he says, is starting to take off a little. Look, there are people who've made money during lockdown, and there are people who've managed to right size or downsize their business. And I think that's because, you know, tough times breed tough businesses. But again,
and tough times never last.
Tough times never last. Only tough people last. But don't you claim this, Mr. President, because if anything, your government has stood in the way of people making more money and making themselves more productive and more prosperous. Your government has not helped. It's caused greater unemployment. I mean, I shared a thing on Facebook the other day, got quite a reaction, and I'm not sure it's the reaction that that I was expecting even. Forget about anyone else. But it's basically this this comparison. Black unemployment. So we're not even talking about white, Indian, or colored, right? Black unemployment. Mm-hmm. There were 1.6 million unemployed black people in South Africa in 1994. In 2019, before COVID, it was at 5.9 million. Now, after COVID, they're estimating 20.9 million unemployed black people in this country. And that is directly as a result of the ANC's bad policy. You can blame anything else you like, but that's the truth. So, Mr. President, we don't believe you. Good luck. I think you're a good human being, but I think you're a terrible president. EWN reporting this morning that a mother of newborn twins was arrested for trying to sell them to feed her drug addiction. You know how we always say that people shouldn't...
This is sad.
Not all people should be parents? Well, I mean, this is horrendous. The mother of a newly born set of twins has allegedly attempted to sell her children to support a drug habit. The woman and two other suspects have been arrested for trafficking in persons in the Eastern Cape, always the most embarrassing province in the country. Officials nabbed the trio during a joint operation on Thursday. Officials received information about a possible human trafficking case in Uitenhage on Wednesday, where a mother of five-day-old twin girls was trying to find a buyer for the children. You know, as if it isn't bad enough that there are already predators out there, people who are trying to steal or sell other people. Now you've got the mother themselves doing this. It's just crazy, right? Anyway, the mother had apparently already given the babies to a prospective buyer. They were then led to a house in Uitenhage where the infants were rescued, and the alleged prospective buyer, along with the baby's mother and another person, were arrested. But what happens to these kids now? What kind of life, what kind of future do they have?
Wow.
I wonder how those kids are going to grow up and what they have to look forward to in their lives. To know that the first thing their mother did when they were 5 years old is try to sell them. It's not going to go well for them no matter what, right? I've always said that the most amazing people in the world are the people who adopt kids. And I hope someone adopts these kids and gives them everything that they need, because God knows they don't deserve this. They're innocent little children. They didn't ask for a fucking crackhead for a mother. A cruise ship arrived in Venice for the first time in 17 months on Thursday, signaling the return of tourists after the coronavirus pandemic, but enraging those who decry the impact of giant floating hotels on Venice, the World Heritage Site. The MSC Orchestra arrived empty from the Greek port of Piraeus and will pick up 650 passengers on Saturday before heading south to sample the delights of Bari, Corfu, Mykonos, and Dubrovnik. Oh my God, doesn't that sound like a way to spend a couple of days in the Mediterranean? But of course, there are people in Venice who say that these cruise ships should not be allowed into the World Heritage Site. They say that... these are environmental protesters. They warn that large waves caused by the cruise ships are eroding the foundations of buildings in Venice. with its lagoon are designated as a UNESCO heritage site. So who knows what's going to happen there? But these cruise ships are amazing. I've been on a couple of them. We've talked about it on the show. It's a great way to travel. If Venice is worried about this stuff, then make the cruise ships park outside of Venice, and you know they can use those little boats to take people in and out. I don't know how those waves are any worse than the waves that are created by little, you know, speedboats that are riding around in the canals, and they do. This Dr. Fauci story is getting worse and worse, but the White House has said nothing. There was a press briefing with Jen Psaki yesterday at the White House. She's the White House spokesperson. And Anthony Fauci is sitting right there. Not one question about his leaked emails, all of which, this is a major revelation, but they're just pretending nothing to see here. Nothing to talk about here. It's like with Joe Biden losing his mind and being the oldest man in the world.
So he didn't, Anton Fauci didn't directly speak to the media?
No, but he was sitting there. And every other White House briefing, they've had a question about coronavirus, and then they pass it on to Dr. Fauci, and he gets up and he goes, well, oh, we are trying with the masks, you know, and all that shit. But this time they just completely ignored him. It's as if someone sends out a circular. Maybe Jen Psaki sends it out herself. She sends this round and says, guys, don't ask anything about Fauci or his emails. And then everybody just, you know, the media don't. They're such good little soldiers. They do exactly what they're told.
Gareth, are you getting into territory of thinking, is the press that's even in the room real press?
No, they're not. They're the publicity arm of the Democrats. That's all they are. I'm sorry. There's no other way to look at it now. And you can see it because of the way that they talk about Joe Biden's exercise regime, when the man is clearly demented. I mean, he can't string more than five sentences together without rolling over words, stumbling, losing his train of thought. He's a disaster. Disaster. Anyway, I don't know what to say about it that we haven't already said. But
you've said enough.
The Fauci emails have come up, and the White House is pretending it's not an issue. It's not a big deal. In fact, they're defending Fauci over them. And it's there for everyone to read. Listen, if you haven't read any of Fauci's emails, if you haven't seen any of the correspondence between him and the lab in China, between him and various other people around the world who were trying to prop up the idea that this wasn't manufactured in a laboratory with this gain-of-function research, which it seems Fauci's NIH paid for. If you aren't paying attention to that, then you are willfully ignorant, and you're deciding to be ignorant. And I have no sympathy for you then. I can't take you seriously either. Finally, Facebook to bar politicians from posting deceptive content. This is interesting. Facebook plans to eliminate an exemption for politicians that allows them to post content deemed deceptive or abusive. We'll hold them to the same standards as everyone else. Well, I think that's a good thing. Why shouldn't politicians be held to the same standards as the rest of us? Right?
It's a bit of a vague term, deceptive content.
Yeah, and of course, guess who gets to decide what is and isn't deceptive? Who do you think?
Oh, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Mr. Zuckerberg and Facebook, correct. These are people who were in cahoots, one of the emails with Dr. Fauci, was basically Mark Zuckerberg saying, you know, we're here to support you. We will toe the line. We are keen to be your PR arm if you need us. And not just in a generous kind of let's give public service announcements where we can. We will keep out information that you don't approve of, Dr. Fauci way. So, you know what? If you still think that the best place to find your news, the best place to seek truth is on Facebook, you again are choosing to be willfully ignorant. And that is about all I want to get furious about this morning. That's about all I want to talk about that's serious. Can I turn to some good news?
Okay.
There's a shop in Joburg that I used to go to and buy some amazing, amazing stuff. It's a place called Tom's Art. Okay. Tom's Art. You can look it up. We're going to put the links up on cliffcentral.com, but it is an amazing, amazing place for you to buy stuff for your house. World-class art is meant to be shared, and Tom's Art is back in Johannesburg to do just that. And they're bringing you even more luxurious classics. I, as I said, have been a customer of Tom's Art, and Gideon, who runs the place, is just awesome. You can go and find them in Cromerville. They've got a showroom there, so you can see everything that you need. And you might find things that you don't even think you need until you see them, and then you want to buy them.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. You can go along to the Cromerville showroom, be delighted with their signature classical gold art and frames. They've got furniture. They've got so much more. They're open from Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and on Saturdays from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. So take note of that. Tom's Art, you name it, they frame it. They have some of the most beautiful mirrors and frames I've ever seen. And that's some of the stuff I've bought there. Tom's Art in Cromerville. They're easy to find. Make sure you tell them that Cliff Central sent you and you'll be treated like a king. Go along and see what Tom's Art have in store.
And I don't, have they ever judged you for what you bring or what you ask for? Because I'm still looking for someone to frame my oil painting portrait
of
just
yourself.
Of myself.
See, they will not. They will not ask questions. In fact, they'll say it's marvelous because their job is not to evaluate your taste. Their job is to help you make the whole thing more tasteful. So they will do that, and you can have it framed.
Awesome.
You can have it framed in gilt if you want to, Sia. G-I-L-T.
I'm
not
sold.
Not G-U-I-L-T. In fact, you will love Tom's Art. I think you should be one of the first people to go there and visit them. And you'll find lots of stuff.
I'll be there.
You could buy yourself a throne. A throne. A proper...
No.
Yes, you will find... Go and look. They you will find a chair there that will look to you like a throne. And you'll be thrilled.
You know what? Here's the thing. I was actually looking at getting a new dining room set.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm thinking...
Uh-huh.
Just put everyone around me on benches and then I just have a throne.
Go and have a look. You'll be so pleased you did. That's Tom's Art in Cromerville.
That'll make dinner parties amazing.
All right. So many emails from people about all kinds of things. I don't want to go too much into the Dr. Fauci stuff this morning, but here's a great idea from Nikita, because we haven't done it yet for this morning, the whole like and subscribe thing. So Nikita says... Here's an idea. Use it, don't use it. Ask the people who listen to the show and who watch the show on YouTube to record a like and subscribe message and then send it to us on our WhatsApp number. I think that's such a great idea. So if you, and then it also lets us show off who listens to us. You know, we want to see what you look like too, and we want you to be a part of the show. So if you want to send us one of those really stock standard YouTube, what do they call them? YouTube influencers, YouTuber, where you point at the screen and go, like and subscribe. And you can make it funny or you can make it ridiculous. It's all up to you. But send those to us. You know the number, 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. We'd love to see yours. And we will obviously, if we get them from you, we'll use them. So that we can, we don't have to, because C and I are quite crap at saying the whole like and subscribe thing. So we'd rather have you do it for us. Great idea.
Preferably, please record in landscape, but that's just a little technical.
So what does that mean? You turn your phone this way rather than that way. Okay.
See, yes.
Even I need
to. Landscape, how you look at
landscape.
You.
In fact, that has to do with framing as well. That's where it comes from. You frame a landscape picture
I'll
this
learn
way.
That tomorrow.
You frame a portrait this way. Yeah. You will when you go and get your portrait framed. I can't wait. Sia, you have to show us once you've had it done. All right. There are a couple of emails about COVID-19 that I don't want to go into at the moment, but here's something cool. This is maybe a bit embarrassing too, but it's from it's from Anonymous. So it's, Dear Gareth, it's been a while since I emailed you. The YouTube channel's working amazingly and it's innovative. Thank you for that. Let me start by saying I've enrolled as a yoga teacher, in a training course. I'm studying to become a yoga teacher, and I've been doing my Module 3 teacher training in the middle of nowhere, some retreat. The place has a very ambient, relaxing, and tranquil, soothing effect on the body, the mind, and spirit. In one of our classes, we had to do yoga completely blindfolded and follow instructions from our teacher. If one has to consume vegetarian meals for 7 days... Yoga is...
Gareth, sorry. Yeah. May we just pause and backtrack? They had to do the assignment blindfolded.
Yeah, this one assignment. That's not how they do all of it, but this one in particular. Okay. So...
Still odd. Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
All right. So then, you know, they go into the description of asana and pranayama and the breathing and... connecting to God and the higher self, blah, blah, blah. I don't understand any of that.
Blindfolded. Okay.
So they do it blindfolded and they've eaten a lot of vegetables. And this person was doing the yoga, and then all of a sudden, inadvertently, I let one rip. So they, farted really loud. It wasn't deliberate, nor was it my intention. It just happened. I feel it gets frowned upon by the majority of people in the yoga community. I do understand that it is rude, bad etiquette, and no one needs to smell that. But Jesus, I'm doing yoga, and people get uncomfortable when you talk about farting. And yes, it's disgusting. It doesn't make me any less of a person. So clearly, whoever this was is being judged harshly by the rest of the yoga community. All right. So they're asking for clemency here. They say, please, if I fart, it's not out of me trying to be funny or facetious or mean. This will inadvertently happen when you consider you have to twist your whole intestines round. Now, I'm not in any way condoning people to go to yoga classes and fart out loud. This is so great. That's not what I'm saying.
But
try to keep it in. But sometimes you can't hold it in. I was taught that farting in public is rude, and I understand that. I'm also not going to justify farting. People should have good etiquette. Just try not to eat before an asana practice. Yes, it's gross. What are your views on this, Gareth and Sia? I would like to make an atonement with my yoga teacher and apologize profusely. We need to have a good community, and I feel I've let them down. And then they go on to explaining how the gas comes from the root chakra.
I don't want to know that.
It's a very funny
email. Nor does it make it any better, Anonymous.
So I'm just going to finish with the last paragraph. I once again would like to apologize to the whole yoga community, even people who obviously didn't hear the fart or weren't in the room.
Because once your fart reverberated across everywhere, the whole world.
For my abhorrent behavior. Yes, it was a fart. Thank you, Gareth, for an amazing podcast. I've drifted away from you guys. I do hope hope we can stay in touch. Your show always brings me much joy in the mornings. Blah, blah, blah. Namaste. And there are days where I like you and I dislike you. Well, all right. You know what? You've also got to release those bad chakras and those bad energies. So if you do it by means of a fart and then you manage to gain some positivity by listening to us, you're doing fine. Congratulations, Anonymous.
I have so many questions. Like, after the fart, did you stay for the rest of the class? Do you leave? If you leave, how do you come back next time?
Oh my God.
If you stay, do you just avoid eye contact?
It's so embarrassing. But
also, I'm a little schnorrer, so I would know how much I paid for that class.
Yeah.
So I would think, if I leave now, then I'm wasting 40 minutes, which will be this much in rands. Do I really want to waste? No. But gosh, Anonymous,
it's very embarrassing.
I don't want to be in your shoes.
Well, clearly Anonymous is feeling very conflicted about what happened, and who can blame them? I wish I knew if it was a him or a her, because it would make it extra funny either way if we could actually put a picture to this. Anyway, good luck to you. And we're going to find out from someone really interesting who I met a little while ago called Sibs. Claire Tu Yates, and we're going to speak to him about his life and the things he does. He's a bit of a content creator, and he's got a show called Sit Down with Sibs, which is quite cool.
He'll teach us how to like and subscribe.
Absolutely. He knows how to do this. So we're going to use him this morning for that purpose. But we're going to find out about his life. He's a very cool guy, and he lives in Joburg, and he's doing all kinds of interesting stuff. So he's going to join us after 7. And we've got Phil Kutzer joining us. I'm going to tell you all about the very luxurious road trip that I took to the Kruger Park on Friday. In fact, on Thursday and then back on Sunday. No, because I left it out on Monday on purpose, because I wanted to tell you about it when Phil was on, because I've never traveled in such luxury on land in my life, ever. And I mean that. Gosh. I'll tell you about it now. Anyway, that's happening. And then George Meany will join us as usual, because it's a Friday morning. So let's get your day off to a good start. I hope you're already there, and stick around. CliffCentral.com's got plenty more where that came from. Don't you go anywhere. Big thank you to Ben for joining us this morning. He'll be back again on Friday next week. So that's good news. If you've got anything you want us to throw at Ben, then send it to us, Gareth@CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.